turn now in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Just read a short part of Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 33, and read through the end of the chapter. That will also, most of that will be our text for the sermon, that event of Christ and his ministry of calming the waves of the sea. Begin reading at verse 33 of Mark chapter 4. And with many such parables spake he, that's Jesus, the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's as far as we'll read. That's also our text. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, that event in our text of Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee is a clear reflection of the truth that is mentioned at the beginning of the book of Mark, verse 1, where it says, The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yes, this is, as God said, My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the Christ concerning whom even the devils could say in Mark chapter 1, What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Yes, he is the Son of God, come into our flesh as Emmanuel, the Son of Man, our Mediator, come to seek and to save the lost, to save his people from their sin, to save us from our sin. Now in his relationship to his disciples, the disciples also called him Master, Teacher, Prophet. And that's what he really is. As the Son of God, Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is God. As the Christ, he is the prophet of God, sent by God to reveal the being, the counsel, the glory, the truth of God to us, his church. And thus, yes, he is master or teacher, come down from heaven unto us, his people, to teach us the truth of salvation, the way of salvation for us, his people. And of course, always central to his instruction to us was the truth concerning himself. In his instruction concerning himself, he more and more revealed to his disciples, This is who I am. This is my work. This is my kingdom. And this is how I will cause my kingdom to come. This is the foundation. This is the work which I have come to do to establish that kingdom. So that already to his disciples early on, he said, the Son of Man must be lifted up on a cross. The third day he must be raised again from the dead. He must ascend up into heaven. And this is the way, by the death and the resurrection of the Son of God, that kingdom shall be established. And now we might wonder, is this prophet of God like all the other prophets of God? They could tell us who God is. They could tell us what God will do, but they themselves had no power to make what God said would happen to come to pass. Does he have the power to fulfill everything he says concerning himself? The answer to that is given in our text, a wholehearted yes. He does have the power not only to tell us what the will of God is concerning our salvation, he also has the power to make it happen. When he calms the waves of the Sea of Galilee, that's a clear testimony not only to the disciples, but also to you and me. Yes, he is the Savior. He will save us from our sin. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. Beloved, Christ is sovereign over the wind and the sea. That's the theme of our sermon. We'll notice the display of that fact and that truth. Then the resulting question of sharp rebuke. And then thirdly, the comfort of this miracle of Jesus calming the waves and the sea. The story is very easy for us to follow. Jesus and his disciples had been busy teaching and listening to things about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus and his disciples, and especially Jesus, had spent an entire day busy in the work of the kingdom of God. He had defended himself against the charge that his spirit is the spirit of Beelzebub, which was blasphemy against the spirit. Then he instructed those who asked to see his mother and his brethren, instructed them about the real family that he had come to save and to work with, and taught about the supreme spiritual blood tie of his fathers and mothers, his sons and daughters within the family of God. And that blood tie within the family of God, which is sealed in his blood, that's the most important family relationship that we may have in this life. The church family, that must come first. Soon thereafter, Jesus began to teach in parables, like the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the mustard seed. And after all of that work, Jesus, we read in verse 34, also expounded to his disciples all of the things which he had talked about. So spent more time privately with his disciples explaining what he had preached. You can imagine that Jesus was exhausted. He is the Son of Man, which means he could become tired and exhausted. So that when we read in the text, the disciples received him into the ship even as he was, that's a statement which brings to us the reality he came in exhausted, weary. Virtue had gone out of him, of all of the work which he had done. Now it was time to sleep. So when he came into the boat, having decided it was time to cross the Sea of Galilee, he went to the back of the boat, found a pillow, and went to sleep. And left to his disciples the work of crossing the Sea of Galilee. But we well know at some point in the crossing over the Sea of Galilee, a great gale force wind began to blow upon the Sea of Galilee. A great storm of hurricane or typhoon strength began to brew upon the sea. And even for the disciples who were seasoned fishermen, seasoned sailors upon the sea, this was a storm they had never experienced before. This was beyond their ability to manage. So that at the height of the storm, wave after wave began to crash over the side of the ship, and it began to fill up with water, so that the text teaches it was now full, on the brink of breaking apart or sinking to the bottom of the sea. That's when the disciples, when they thought all hope was lost, it was inevitable that they would sink and probably drown in the Sea of Galilee, that they run to their master at the back of the boat to wake him up. At the very least, we must see, at the very least, they turn to Jesus. They have, in that act, some faith. He is the one who could only help them in their time of need. But instead of saying to the Lord and waking him up and pleading to him for help to deliver them from their calamity, instead, they hurl at him this accusing question, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Well, of course he cared. His care over his church and his disciples as the Son of God extended back to eternity, where he was bound with an unswerving zeal and love for his people, for his church. Of course he cares. But the disciples, seeing Jesus sleeping, merely assume that, no, Jesus doesn't care. Blame him, really, for their predicament. But immediately, Jesus stands up in the midst of the boat, up to his waist in water, says, according to Matthew, first of all, to his disciples, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then Jesus turns to the wind and to the waves around the boat and says, "Peace, be still." And immediately, the sea was flapped, the wind was gone. The raging sea turned into a mirror of glass reflecting the stars of the night sky. "Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith?" That's a good question. Why? Especially after the disciples see the miracle, which brings out from the heart of the disciples the question, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, the answer is right there. What manner of man is he? Well, this is the Son of God, sovereign over wind and wave, sovereign in control of every wave of the sea. Everyone, even today, still is sovereign over every blast of wind and every single wave upon all of the seas upon the earth. And that's clearly displayed before the disciples, beloved. Christ is the Son of God. He stands in that sea. He's not afraid. He doesn't bend before the storm in a coward fear like the disciples did. Stands in the boat as the Son of God, power over all things. Looks those creatures in the eye and says, "Be still." And immediately they obey him at once. That's his power. That's his authority over every wind, over every breath, or every wave of the sea. But also notice, beloved, still in the boat as our mediator, This Son of God is on the road of humiliation to the cross. You also see that here. His glory only, as it were, flashes out for a brief moment and then it's covered again. It flashes out when he speaks, the wind stops, the waves go flat, and then it's gone. We don't see it so clearly anymore. Previously, he's sleeping in the back of the boat. He's hungry, he's tired, he's weary, surrounded by a band of sinful men. And then after he's awakened up to his waist in water, the one who could walk on the sea remains standing in the water up to his waist while the boat is about to sink. His glory only flashes for a moment and then is covered. It's gone. For Jesus wears a coat which covers that glory, a spiritual coat. Just remember, he wore this coat all the way from his birth through his earthly life to the cross. A spiritual coat which you can't see with the earthly eye, but a spiritual coat nonetheless, which wrapped around him, which he could not remove. He wore that coat willingly from his conception and birth right to the very end on the cross. The coat of a weakened human nature, which he could suffer the effects of this life of death, of sickness, of being exhausted and tired, and weary and hungry and thirsty and sad and so on. He was clothed, you see, beloved, with that curse due to our sin, which he would on the cross have to sleep the sleep of death under the mighty waves of God's wrath for our sin. Christ stands and stays in that boat. He didn't have to. He's the Lord of glory. He could have walked off that boat all the way to the shore. But he doesn't do that. He's on his way, beloved, to the cross, under that load of God's curse for our sin, wearing that coat of humiliation willingly for the sake of his disciples, for the sake of his church, our salvation. When we understand that, beloved, then that makes that question of the disciples very foolish. They ask Christ, "Dost thou not care?" Well, now look at Christ from the perspective of being the Lord of glory and carrying the load of our sin and wearing that cloak of humiliation willingly. Well, of course he did care. There's Jehovah's salvation, bearing the curse of our sin, but not letting even the raging sea prevent him from getting to the cross. He would not drown. He would not forsake reaching the cross of Calvary for us. Of course he cared. Will save us from our sin. So Christ is sovereign, therefore not only over the wind and the wave, to teach us, when we see in the miracle here that wind cease and the waves go flat, immediately we see, this Christ, this is the Lord of glory, who's not only sovereign over these creatures of the wind and the waves, is also sovereign in my salvation, your salvation. This Christ is in control at God's right hand, beloved. He governs everything in the earth for your salvation. Every wind, every typhoon, every wave of the sea is governed for the sake of the church. He even governs what the raging sea pictures, which is the world which rages against Christ. Even that Christ governs, so that no man can stop Christ from accomplishing his work and gathering his church unto himself in everlasting glory. No man can pluck us out of the hand of this Christ who is sovereign over the wind and the wave. He's also sovereign in working that salvation in you. Christ speaks the word to the wind and the wave, peace be still, and that's the way it works immediately. So Christ can speak to us His life-giving word, and immediately that word works in our hearts by His Spirit. Faith, repentance, sorrow for sin, a change in our life for the good, for the glory of God, so that the heart which previously was hard against Him, blocked in pride against Him, would never open to Him. Christ breaks down that raging heart and works in us humility and love and the calm of peace and contentment and thanksgiving. He calls us out of our darkness, out of our misery, out of the troubles of this life. He calls us into His marvelous light of His grace and peace, to see Him, to know Him, to trust in Him for everything in our life. Beloved, you may be sure, seeing Christ here in the miracle, you can be sure there is no wind, there is no wave in this earth, there is no whim of man, no wall of raging pride that can wipe out, that can blow away, that can force away this sovereign Savior from working His miracles in your heart. What Christ desires to do in you, He will accomplish that without fail. That's the kind of Savior we have, beloved. That's what makes that question of Christ all the more stinging to you and me. Jesus said to His disciples, "Why are you so fearful? Who do you think I am? And therefore, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" In the disciples' minds, they thought they had many reasons to be afraid. They were about to drown, they thought. The ship is about to break up. What do we do? There's no one to rescue us. The other boats that were with them had the same problem. They could not help. They did not have, like ships on the sea today, have all the life-saving equipment, life jackets, life boats, and life preservers and radios they can call to the search and rescue. They will come and pick them up out of the sea. They didn't have that. They thought they were going to die. They thought, "We have a good reason to be afraid." And there is Christ sleeping at the back of the boat. All hope is lost. We will perish. Nevertheless, they are justly rebuked by Christ. "How is it that ye have no faith?" Jesus said. They didn't believe in Him. They failed to see. After all that Jesus had already accomplished in His ministry, He is the Son of God. He can heal the sick, raise the dead, can forgive sin too. That's who He is, surely. He can calm the waves of the sea. They didn't believe that. At that moment, they doubted Christ, you see. Therefore, Jesus had to humble them. "Why are ye so fearful?" And then Jesus, immediately after that question, calms the waves of the sea to show that they had no reason to fear and to see that Christ is fully committed to the work of our redemption. Christ gives them overwhelming testimony. They have no reason to be fearful. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Lord and Savior. Beloved, that question is not just for the disciples. That question that Jesus asks He asks also to you, why are ye so fearful? It's very easy for us, when we read this parable, to sit as judges over the disciples and think about them, well, boy, those disciples were not very wise. They should have known that Christ was with them in the boat. Why didn't they calmly go to the back of the boat, gently wake him up and ask him, Lord, please calm the waves of the sea for us, lest we perish? We might even conclude that if we were in that boat with Jesus, we would never do that. And yet the question of Christ says, really, if you were in the boat, you would do the same thing. So this question does apply to us. Why then are ye so fearful? Since I am the Christ, why? We're prone to be fearful, aren't we? The disciples in the boat are a picture of the New Testament church and of the believers. Not, of course, everyone in the boat was a child of God. Judas certainly was not a child of God. The others were. Nevertheless, they're a picture of the church, and of the believer in particular. According to the sign of the miracle, all those waves on the sea, we must remember, if you're out in a storm perhaps on the sea, you can imagine this, those waves out there are a picture of the storms and the waves of life which beat against our heart and our souls. We're buffeted, we're hit every day by the waves of false teachings, of ungodliness, heresies, the temptations of the devil to walk in sin. We're beat by the storms of controversy, of the sins of others. There are the trials and the tribulations of life that blow upon us, wave after wave after wave beats upon us. There comes times in our life when we think the ship is going to sink. We are prone to cry out, Master, dost not thou care? Dost thou now care about our family? About thy people? We are prone to question whether the Lord knows, as he says in the Bible, that he knows the troubles we must go through. She is prone to question whether he knows, whether he is merciful, and whether he is present, as he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is he really with us? Is he really in control? That applies to us on a personal level. There may be division in the home, strife here and there, spiritual disunity among family. There may be financial hardships which beat against our hearts. There may be temptations which the devil puts right upon our pathway. There it is, a mighty storm of temptation. And then, besides all of that, there's that old nature against which we must battle every day. Master, we're prone to cry out, dost not thou care that I perish? We think, even though we know Christ has ascended to God's right hand, he is in heaven, doing all that God requires him to do from God's right hand, we are prone to think, well, since he's so far away, he doesn't care. Dost not thou care? And what a foolish question that is, beloved, because he who is at God's right hand is the anchor of your soul. He is guiding you to his sanctuary. He's ascended to God's right hand because first, clothed in that cloak of our sin, he went to the cross of Calvary and there died for you. He went into your hell so that he might raise you to his heaven. Now he is at his heaven, at God's right hand, working all things according to the counsel of the Father for your salvation. Why then are ye so fearful? Don't you remember who I am? Don't you know what I am doing for you and continue to do for you? And don't you know that I am sovereign over the storms in your life? In fact, I am the one who sends those storms that beat against your soul. Why are ye so fearful? For I am your Lord, I am your God, I am your Savior. We deserve that rebuke, don't we, beloved? We do. Often we doubt God's promises. We doubt the goodness of the Lord. We have no excuse. Just like the disciples. No different. Oh, how we need Christ, who is sovereign over the wind and the wave, by His Spirit to work in us this faith, to believe in Christ, to trust in Him. And that's what the miracle does work and did work in the disciples. It was a blessing to them. So that later after Pentecost, when they received the Spirit, they could go forth into their work as apostles, face those mighty storms of persecution, and face them with a heart of peace. Remember the Apostle Peter, the night before he was to be executed, on the first day of the week, after the Passover was finished, he knew the next morning he would get up on the first day, that Sunday, and be killed by Herod. That's what he expected. Was he all troubled and worried all night so he never slept a wink? No, he was sound asleep when the angel came to find him. He had learned that lesson from the Sea of Galilee, sitting in the prison, ready to be executed the next morning. Christ is my Lord. I have nothing to fear. He is sovereign over this. This He will use for the good of His church. And He did, in a way which Peter had not expected, showed wicked Herod that Christ is risen. He is at God's right hand. His kingdom shall not fail. That's what we need, like God did to Peter, to be worked in our hearts. And our Lord is our sovereign Savior. He not only forgives our sins, but He saves us from our sin, works in us the faith by which we may trust in Him, be assured in Him, and to have from Him that peace and that comfort that we are safe in His hands. That's the comfort and assurance, beloved, that can only come from this truth of the text. We have to help Christ to be sovereign over the wind and the wave, and help Christ to save ourselves from our sin, then there's no comfort, there's no peace. Christ shows in the text, He is sovereign over every wind and wave that comes against you. And in that, He is your only protection. There is no life jacket, there is no lifeboat that you can make or find that will deliver you from the devil's temptations. There is no life preserver. There is no lifeboat. There is no search and rescue. There is no coast guard in all of the world that can save you from the storms of wrestling with sin and things that have to do with life and eternity. Christ is our only hope and protection and safety in the storms of life, who doesn't wait for us to reach out and to take Him as the life preserver. He comes, He searches, and He rescues us, holds on to us so that we do not perish. He is the one who sends the storms. He is also the one who is our deliverance from those storms. And that's our comfort, beloved. It's by His Spirit that He removes the unbelief, removes the blindness, so that we may see what the disciples did not see at first. Yes, He is the Lord. All the details of your life today, every one of them today, why you are even sitting here today, is governed by Christ. He is in control of your life. He is in control of that ship. And He is in control of that ship as your Lord and Savior. By His Spirit learning that, then we don't have to fear. We only need to trust in Him. Trusting in His finished work, yes, we have forgiveness from God and all the blessings of salvation, so that wherever that ship is guided by Christ, through life, whatever storm through which we must go, she sends upon us, it doesn't matter, the ship will be guided into the harbor of heaven. That's the destination. And that's certain because this Christ who is in the ship is the anchor of our souls. And that anchor is cast by God into the Holy of Holies at His right hand. In heaven. But there's more comfort than that, beloved. Christ is not only sovereign over the storms of life. The miracle teaches that. One more thing you must also remember before we're finished. Don't forget that when Christ did the miracle, He was in the boat. Not off on the mountain somewhere, or down in Jerusalem while His disciples are up on the Sea of Galilee wrestling with the storm. He's in the boat with His disciples. That's the love of our Savior. That's the mercy of our Savior towards us. He who bought us with His precious blood so loved us. He gave Himself for our salvation. So regarding us as that precious to Him, He's not going to care for us at a distance, far from us. No, He will care for us all the days of your life. Yes. And so care for you in such a way that He is with you, in the boat with you, in the ship with you. Be with you by His Word and Spirit. He will never leave you, even though you may think He's gone because of sin or doubting or whatever the struggle may be. He never forsakes us. He will be with us all the days of our life to bless us, to provide us all that we need in body and soul, to make sure that every storm you face in life serves your salvation, using that to sanctify you, to strengthen your faith, to bring you closer and closer, one storm at a time, to the harbor of heaven. Yes, He is with you. He is with me. We need to remember that. He's in the ship. He's the anchor of the ship. He's the one at the wheel. He's the wind by His Spirit in the sails. He's the one that has the course marked out on the chart, set by God in His counsel. He will make sure, by His sovereign control and His sovereign love, that that ship of your soul is steered to arrive in the harbor of everlasting glory, so that one day you will stand on a sea of crystal, an everlasting peace before God and Jesus Christ, the captain of your ship. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee that Christ is sovereign over the wind and over the oceans and over the seas, but also sovereign in the storms of life. He has promised that He will go with us through fire and through flood, through storm and through the stormy winds. So may that be true for us, lest we perish. Grant us the faith to believe that He is with us, and that He has, having given up His life for us, so He shall be with us in His grace and mercy all the days of our life. So comfort our hearts that we never be fearful, but that we trust in Thee, and Thou wilt bring Thy promises to pass. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.